This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We are kicking off the second hour here. Of course, you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Mark joining us from Guatemala tonight. And on the way here, I do have a story about Honduras. Got this lady with the lemonade stand in Alabama that is being cracked down upon. She's trying to teach kids entrepreneurialism, and that is apparently a crime here in the United States, or at least in Alabama, probably in many of the 50 states. We can get into that. Plus, I know, Mark, you wanted to talk about something that I wrote down somewhere here. Oh, felons. Felons and guns. Apparently there's been some court case regarding that, but we started the show talking about the supposed overturning of affirmative action with regards to college admissions, which is all over the news and social media today. But it looks like there's really no way to enforce this Supreme Court decision because, I mean, what, is the Justice Department going to go arrest college admissions people and bring criminal charges if they ignore the Supreme Court? Of course
not. They're not going to ignore it.
No, you're right. They're going to change the policy to where...
I mean, these are statists working within a statist system, and they're going to say, okay, well, the Supreme Court has said we can't look at race, so we're going to look at attributes of race or something to that effect.
Yep. If that's what they think this is. Right? They got armies of lawyers.
And I think this is important, and I think it's good, because what it does is it tells the racists, hey, stop being racist.
But you, they don't think they're racist.
You bigots have used this system for the last 60 years to say that your version of racism is acceptable and another version is unacceptable. Well, we, the Supreme Court of the United States, tell you you're both bigots, stop it, and go back to your bigot hole and do bigot things in the dark like you bigots do.
Which is what they're going to do. They'll do the exact same. Yeah, they'll do the exact same thing, and they'll just simply not publicly state any kind of quotas or whatever. And you were saying earlier they didn't state their quotas before, so really not much is likely to change. But
they hid their behavior, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to keep hiding it. But it is likely to, as we're seeing, get a lot of people touting this decision as though it's some sort of monumental decision, and it doesn't really seem like
it is. I think it's a monumental decision. I'm going to go that far, yeah. I mean, is it going to get rid of racism on planet Earth? No. It's not.
It's not going to get rid of it in the college admissions process.
The state hasn't been able to do that. Well, you know, I don't think it's going to be able to do that, but it's a step along the path. Racism isn't the kind of thing you can get rid of overnight, but you certainly shouldn't put it under a freaking grow lamp and give it fertilizer, right?
Sure, and but that's what they do all the time.
That's what's been going on in American universities for decades.
It's going to keep going on.
Fertilizer to racism.
Yeah, it's going to keep going on. They're going to keep teaching, what is it, there's a certain curriculum that people are really offended by right now.
Critical race theory.
They're going to keep teaching this stuff.
Critical race theory isn't about race as much. It's taking communist thought process and replacing race with class.
Okay, I don't know. I've never taken a critical race theory class. I'd always heard it has something to do with blaming the white man for all of the other people's problems or something like that. But
sure.
I just hear what I hear, and I don't know what the truth is about that. But, you know, I really wouldn't care what the colleges do if it weren't for the fact that the colleges are taking taxpayer dollars to do these things. Because if you're not taking taxpayer dollars, then you can go ahead and have your racist college if you want to. I don't care. I don't have to pay for it, right? So that's the way it ought to be. That there should be no government funding of college whatsoever. And when I say no government funding, I'm also including the college loans. I don't think that the government should be giving those out either. It should all be privately done. You figure out how to get your college funded. Let the colleges compete for the students that are out there. Let the prices come down, by the way, because the fact that the government, the state, the federal gang is funding these college loans is one of the reasons why colleges can just keep on jacking up the rates. Because essentially, you know, they can just raise the rates and keep raising the rates because they can charge anything they want to. Ultimately, even though there's supposedly competition, if they all just raise their rates like a cartel, the federal government will just keep signing the checks.
They will. And it's worth pointing out that many of the top colleges, I can't say Harvard specifically, I haven't looked into this, but many of the top colleges, I know MIT has all of its curriculum online. Now, no one's going to say MIT is anything but a top-tier institution.
Mm-hmm.
So you can now get a top-tier education, and have been able to do this for over a decade, get a top-tier education for free. College education isn't what costs you money when it comes to college. It's brand recognition, the sheepskin, the networking, and all the other stuff that goes into it. The education isn't what – you can get the education. It's free.
And that's the way it should be. And people shouldn't have the value for a college degree. And fewer people have a value for a college degree these days, by the way. In the whole COVID situation, as that passed by and we found that people were desperate to hire, and now maybe that situation isn't as dire as it was a year ago, but still I see now hiring signs everywhere. I don't know, well, you're not in the U.S. right now, Mark, but the last time you were, I don't know what it was like down south, but up here it's just all over the place still. There's a ton of people hiring, so it's like still I think it is a essentially an employee's market. They can kind of name their price.
I think it's interesting. It seems like there are a lot of, you know, things I've read online suggest that a lot of people are applying in some locations for these jobs and that basically the jobs are paying too little. I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the inflation is moving so quickly that people are saying, hey, this paycheck isn't good enough to do this job, so I'm not going to take the job. It's possible.
Yeah, it's still hard to know why people aren't working. I mean, obviously some people are on welfare and they've gotten stuck there, but and then there's, you know, restrictions on immigration that may be making it more difficult for migrants to come up and take the jobs that they would normally take. But still, it does seem like that these businesses are desperate to hire. I mean, if you can fog a mirror, they're going to take you. And so what we saw happening in the last couple of years was businesses who previously were saying, well, you need to have a college degree, said, yeah, that's not that important anymore. We'll just take you as long as, you know, you can get up on and come here on time, essentially. So the requirements to get through the job application process in a lot of jobs that previously have been college only have loosened up, as I understand it. So that college degree just isn't worth what it once was. And I think that is a good thing. Of course, they're still charging more for it. The college degree, the cost of the college degree continues to rise. And until we actually have some free market competition in the area of, you know, degrees and loans and things like that, you're going to keep seeing it be more and more expensive and keep seeing the return on investment getting worse and worse, where we see so many young people saddled with, as you were pointing out earlier, Mark, you know, years and years, decades worth of debt from this so-called education, and they still don't have a job in the area that they got the degree in. I mean, it's just this story just keeps getting told over and over
again. And I think that that's what's worth talking about when it comes to college. I think that's what's important to say is that, ladies and gentlemen, young people everywhere, be careful of the college trap. It's not that college is necessarily bad. It's not that cheese is necessarily bad. Cheese stuck in a rat trap is bad. Getting a college degree that is worthless because you were told that you needed to go to 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th grade, and being saddled with tens of thousands. I mean, it's not even surprising to hear the word $50,000 worth of debt. I mean, $50,000 worth of debt walking out into the world with a useless degree in racial studies or God knows what else is out there.
Communication. Political science.
Right. You know, the I'm a liberal badge. You know?
There's a quote here in the CNBC story that I have from the Supreme Court. Dissenters, Sotomayor, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, said, quote, "Today this court stands in the way and rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress." She called the ruling profoundly wrong and devastating, and that the majority, quote, "holds that race can no longer be used in a limited way in college admissions to achieve such critical benefits." She further argued the Supreme Court, quote, "cements a superficial rule of colorblindness as a constitutional principle in an endemically segregated society where race has always mattered and continues to matter." So what I hear from this person is that she just thinks race is so important and that we should focus on race and that race needs to continue to be an issue, whereas from my perspective, we should be looking at individuals as individuals. We shouldn't be judging people based on the color of their skin at all. And she seems to believe that the opposite is true. So, I mean, she's basically straight up making a racist statement here.
I have to agree with you on this one, Ian. It's to me, there are people that make a living out of dividing people based on race.
Right.
And I am sick and tired personally of being divided based on race. I had an interesting conversation with a friend today. We were walking past a bar, and it was an Irish bar, and they had your traditional drunk leprechaun on the front, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked, you know, hey, can you think of any other circumstance where any other ethnicity, it's acceptable to play upon the preconceptions of that particular ethnicity? Now, I happen to be about a quarter Irish. I kind of identify as Irish to some extent. And I can't imagine where you could get the miserly Jew bar.
The drunken Indian bar.
The drunken Indian bar.
Yeah, you're right. That wouldn't fly.
You know, like, I don't even know what you could do with the Scotsman. I kind of feel like you could do something with a Scotsman and, you know, get away with it. I mean, you know, there's the best I could come up with was Italians. You can make an Italian gangster bar, and it's okay.
Okay.
And that's it. You literally can do nothing else from what I can tell. And, you know, I mean, racism appears to be acceptable in some aspects and not in others.
I think we've covered this story, Mark. Was there anything else about it that you wanted to share?
No, I think that's pretty much what I wanted to get out into it is that, you know, the people are going to be talking about this for a long time to come. I generally consider this good. I think racism's bad, and I think racism in all its forms bad. If you have another opinion, I'd be happy to hear it. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
Indeed. So we've got this story here that I think ties into what we were talking about earlier with kids not being taught entrepreneurial spirit and drive. In the Washington Post reporting on a woman in Alabama, Christelle Johnson, and her 8-year-old son Cameron, they happen to be black, by the way, turned their hand-painted lemonade stand into Cam's Lemonade, a full-blown business that now sells their product at grocery stores, which is amazing.
Who's Cam again?
Cam is her son.
Cameron, the son, the eight-year-old. What I wanted to know. Yeah.
In that time, the Alabama mom said she saw her shy boy come out of his shell, learn how to handle money, and turn into a budding entrepreneur. She said she wanted to impart those skills on other kids through a one-day apprenticeship on July 9th. The plan was simple. Children between the ages of 6 and 10 would send her a, quote, resume, which was a letter that they explaining they wanted what they wanted to be when they grew up. And Johnson would, quote, hire two of them to act as a smiler and a greeter. After a two-hour shift, helping to sell some freshly made lemonade, she offered to pay each of them $20. But
this woman is a hero.
Yes, and she's going to get treated like one by the Alabama government. Just after she promoted the apprenticeship on social media last week, she said someone complained to the Alabama Department of Labor.
You know, I also feel like nobody who works for the government should be able to complain. You
a
know
lot
what?
Of times if it you, is government people who complain.
If you decided to work for this enforcement agency, you don't get to decide who complain. You don't get to be one of the complainers.
Yeah.
The complainers must come from the citizenry. You have stepped out of the citizenry, and you are now a bureaucrat. And bureaucrats don't,
get
to
count.
Complain.
Yeah, I like that. That's
because you know
one.
It was. You know it was. It was one of these bureaucrats saying, oh, this is a violation.
I think their husband and wife shouldn't qualify either, like any direct family. Let's even exclude indirect family as well, like, you know, mom and dads and, you know, people like that.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody who shares
same last name, you're
out. a quarter percent of DNA or happens to be or through marriage.
So somebody complained to the Alabama Department of Labor that she was trying to recruit young children, a violation of the state's child labor laws. She told the Washington Post, listen, I know a six-year-old doesn't have a resume, so it was never about me trying to employ.
I love how she has to explain this to the mouth-breathing dullards out there that may be like, oh, sounds like it might be legal. You know what? Somebody, this is the kind of crap that a revolution has been thrown over. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Jasmine Revolution that occurred in the Muslim countries came from a guy who was just trying to sell fruit.
Mm.
Yes. Bureaucrats were shot, center of mass. They were impaled. Their heads were put on pikes over this kind of bullcrap. And that's the problem with America is we don't do that stuff anymore. There hasn't been a good tarring and feathering in a long time.
Well, I don't think violence is going to solve the problem, but I do understand the frustration, you know, that where you're coming
from. I don't think violence is really the solution, but that's how it was done before, right? Like, violence was the solution at one point. Now the government has the monopoly on violence, nearly so. And like Joe Biden said, they can drone bomb you from anywhere, and they probably will. But you can still not put up with this.
No, that's true. I mean, there are things that can be done here. Now, I don't know if it can be done in Alabama or if... Well, we can talk about solutions here in a little bit. Thankfully, they haven't actually drone bombed the lemonade stand quite yet. It hasn't gotten that bad, but they are going to threaten this woman. And that is what the Department of Labor does. They threaten people who decide they want to live free and decide they want to put people to work who they claim can't possibly work.
Well, that's not true. The Department of Labor will absolutely let you work if you are under the age of, what was it here?
He's eight, this guy.
Yeah, they will let eight-year-olds work. They absolutely will. A, you can work in Hollywood being a child actor, and I know that sounds really mild and everything, but how about the people, you know, the pick fruit and vegetables? There's literally eight-year-olds, and I'll bet you there were today in America, eight-year-olds picking fruits and vegetables that you will eat.
Really?
Yes.
Because, but why? Because they're like the son or daughter of the farm
workers? No, not the son or daughter. These are the sons or daughters of migrant workers in many cases.
That's legal? There's a carve-out for that?
Yep. It's just the child labor that they don't want.
I see. Interesting. In this case,
they want little Cameron to be stuck in school until 18 years old and have every bit of entrepreneurial spirit squeezed out of him so he can go work for some local Alabama municipal government rather than getting a real job.
Yep. You wouldn't need a real job. I mean, if he was able to, and again, he's able to because he's her son. So he can work at the lemonade stand.
Yep.
And that's fine. In the same way, remember that
in a lot of places, a lemonade stand's illegal, Ian.
That's true. Thankfully, not in New Hampshire. But remember that place out in Westmoreland, the Stewart and John's, where they literally have little kids walking around serving people at tables and bussing the tables and things like that. And I think somebody told me that they're all the family. Like every one of these kids is part of this big family. It's probably some religious family. I don't know what their religion is, but
that's how Jack got a job
working for the family.
Yeah, there was a cousin, and it was fine for him to work at the family as long as or the family restaurant, so long as it didn't affect. It wasn't serving alcohol.
I see.
And so there you go. Yeah. But turns out you're related to a lot of people you don't know about.
Right. Well, maybe she needs to try that particular approach here. But in this case, as soon as you bring somebody,
this is my cousin.
Yeah, as soon as you bring somebody in who's outside the family, and then it becomes a crime that the Department of Labor thinks they need to get involved with. So she explained to the Washington Post, she said, I was just trying to make it look a bit professional so the kids could have fun and learn really valuable life skills while at it.
Again, I will say this segment, too. This lady is a hero.
Absolutely. We need more people like her. In recent months, child labor has become a national talking point following a surge in high-profile cases involving mostly migrant children working dangerous jobs. The Labor Department has seen a 69% increase in minors employed in violation of federal law since 2018. At the same time, efforts to roll back child labor protections have advanced through state legislatures across the country. Well, hallelujah if that's the case. And maybe if there's any state reps listening here in New Hampshire, maybe we need to roll that crap back. If there is any in New Hampshire, unless it's all federal, I imagine there's a lot of federal overriding the local state government rules in this case. The Johnson's business, a venture that consists of her preparing batches of lemonade from a rented commercial kitchen and then transporting the bottles by car, quote, faced no penalties and was not threatened with any penalties, claimed the spokes bureaucrat for the Alabama Department of Labor, rather a child labor inspector, gave Johnson a call explaining how the apprenticeship could run afoul of the state's protections for minors. Let me tell you.
And, of course, that person didn't give her legal advice on how to actually administer a entrepreneurial education program that might benefit the people of her, the young people of her community. That person just said, yeah, this looks like it might be illegal.
Yeah, that is a threat, okay?
Because these bureaucrats aren't here to protect you. They're not here to educate your children. Ladies and gentlemen. When are we going to figure it out?
No, they're here to protect the established businesses. They're here to protect the established lemonade manufacturers in this particular case. And to claim that she was, quote, not threatened with any penalties is just to be, I mean, of course, they're going to lie. I mean, they're just dishonest. When the bureaucrat called Ms. Johnson and, quote, explained how the apprenticeship could run afoul of the state's protections for minors, that's the threat right there.
That's the threat.
You don't have to trot out what the penalty might be to be making a threat. All you have to say is, you're going to violate, you may be violating our rules. And that's enough to make most people say, oh, crap, I better stop doing what I'm doing.
Right, because, by the way, they continue to get the same paychecks all along. The lawyers who work for them get the same paychecks all along. You, if you run afoul of their little rules, have to hire an attorney.
That's right, yeah.
To prove that you did not run afoul of their rules, and that's going to cost you, in all likelihood, tens of thousands of dollars.
I want to talk more about this. There's more to the story, because, again, she was going to do this thing on July 9th, where she was going to help train kids on how to run a lemonade stand, basically. And the state, well, you won't be surprised to learn, they talked her out of it. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. And by that, I mean threatened her out of it.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Affirmative action is now barred from being used in college admissions decisions. That comes after the Supreme Court today ruled in favor of challenges to affirmative action programs at the University of North Carolina and Harvard. The High Court ruled that the university admissions policies were unconstitutional. Emotions are raw in Parkland, Florida, after former Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School resource officer Scott Peterson was found not guilty on all charges. Parent Tony Montalto.
He contributed to the death of my daughter Gina, her schoolmates, and their teacher.
He says after seeing the killer avoid the death penalty and the deputy who did not confront that killer be found not guilty, his faith in the U.S. justice system is shaken. Charges will not be filed in the deadly stampede at the Astroworld Music Festival, according to a Houston grand jury. 10 people died in the crowd surge, including a 9-year-old child. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. And, of course, you can bring up anything you want. We're talking about a really just an awful story, yet another lemonade stand targeted by the government thugs. In this case, it's Alabama. And it's a bit of a different story. Your typical lemonade stand story just involves, you know, kids setting up a lemonade stand in the neighborhood or whatever, and then cops coming by and threatening them. In this case, the lemonade stand itself isn't illegal, but the woman whose son is running the lemonade stand decided she was going to help other kids learn how to run their own lemonade stand, learn some of the basics of running a business. And she was even going to pay them to come there and work as a smiler and a greeter at the lemonade stand. Kids between the age of 6 and 10, after they sent in a quote-unquote resume, which would be a letter.
Arduous labor, clearly.
Right.
In the hot sun, smiling and greeting.
Yeah. Yep. And they came after her for this. The so-called Department of Labor gave her a call and explained how the apprenticeship could run afoul of the state's protections for minors. And the protections they're talking about are going to protect these kids right out of learning life skills, learning some of the most important life skills that a young person can learn. In this case, how to smile and be nice to a customer, how to actually be welcoming into a business, showing up on time, and just generally being positive. I mean, these are basic skills that somebody who's starting their first job should understand. And the state is just saying, no, you couldn't possibly be allowed to do this because someone might make a profit. That's actually what they say here. Quote, kids that age can volunteer for their church or other nonprofit, but a sure. six-year-old cannot work for a for-profit business, said the state spokesbureaucrat from the Department of Labor, adding that Johnson, as the sole owner of her business, is free to employ her own child, quote, provided they are under her supervision and not performing hazardous duties. So, it's fine. You can educate your own kids, and you certainly should if you have them, into, you know, running their own business and entrepreneurial spirit and the things they need to know about those things. But if you want to help their friends learn something and maybe even make a few bucks while they're learning a thing, because that's the best way to learn is to, you know, get paid to train. Nope, can't do that. Can't possibly help your neighbors, can't possibly help your son's friends learn anything because, well, something. What's the rationale for this? What do they say? For the people out there who actually support these labor laws, because we're not talking about, you know, putting the kid in the factory and having him lose an arm in the equipment, right? Because that's the old excuse for why they need to have child labor laws.
Well, it was an excuse because they didn't want kids competing with adults and driving down the cost of labor.
Sure.
In part.
Yeah. Right. The
I mean, I'm sure there's some good reasons not to have kids working. I'm sure there are. I don't think that this is libertarianism's very strongest issue. But I'd like people to at least understand some of the arguments that go towards it, that, in fact, you're only going to learn how to work by working. I started working
at
12 years old, and it was probably legal. I don't know for sure, but it probably was because I was working for comic books at a comic book store.
Hmm.
By the time I was 15, I'd had 3 years of experience, and they hired me in, started paying me in U.S. dollars, and, you know, that was great. I loved that, too. I loved the comic book part, too. And then I worked there till I was 18 years old. And I am so grateful. I learned more at that job than I did at the time, you know, from going to high school.
Absolutely. And I was also working at a very, very young age with my mom in her shop in Florida. Let's go to the phones here. There's more about the lemonade stand, though. We've got Chuck on the line in Washington State. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I did all that. Paper routes, lemonade stand. It's an important part of your human development here in America, I think.
Absolutely.
I wanted to touch on the issue that your counterpart there brought up. I don't know if it was in context to prior conversations that you had or whatever, but you were talking about the public flogging and tar and feathering or whatever, how they should bring it back.
He did say something about that, yeah.
Yeah, don't you think that with the social media and how cruel people can be without all the context of the fact or the without all the background can be on social media to somebody that has been accused of committing a crime? I mean, I can think of several little S-hole communities here across America that have these attack websites on Facebook and Twitter or whatever, or accounts. Basically, what they do is they find people that are accused of crimes and they, you know, it's an extrajudicial punishment taking people from social media.
They try them before they've ever gotten convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the vast majority of people never get really convicted because they don't get a fair trial. They're basically, you know, the system is designed that people waive their fair trial in order to not face punitive punishments in case they do lose. Yeah, sure, I see that all the time. I would also.
Don't you think that's efficient and in place? Because I'm with you. I don't like to see. I don't think violence would change a thief's heart, and I don't even think this kind of tactic will either. But
I'll ask this question. You know, there was a time in America that being a tax collector was a dangerous profession. There was a time in America where injuring a community and under the color of law and attempting to, I don't know, keep kids from setting up a lemonade stand, for instance, was a dangerous thing to do. Now, here in America, everything that any government bureaucrat does or even suggests appears to be slathered over, and I don't even know how to turn that back. So much so that I've left the United States. I've said, you know what? Sayonara, statists. Y'all are doomed.
You went to Japan?
I did not move to Japan. Japan's even more statist.
No, he's in Guatemala.
Why you say sayonara? Oh, come on.
Oh, I see.
Hey, thanks, Chuck, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's continue. Tom is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Tom.
The federal government prosecuted the former Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, Larry Householder, for taking bribes. And I don't see, I'm not sure how they figure that the U.S. Constitution gives Congress the power to impose laws against bribery in state government. But anyway, they do that. They prosecuted a number of state legislators for taking bribes. The former Speaker of the New York State Assembly, it happened to him a bunch of years ago. But the thing is that the federal government is simultaneously bribing these politicians with stolen money, mm-hmm. saying we'll give you more highway construction money if you commit an unforgivable hate crime against people under 21 than if you do not.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the people under 21 have no reason to care if their state government is going to lose millions of highway construction dollars because they're not the ones collecting kickbacks from the contractors. They're not the ones getting reelected by doling out the nice cushy jobs to the powerful labor unions. They don't have any reason to care if the state loses millions of dollars of federal highway construction money. Selling their freedom to Congress for highway construction money is no better than a mother selling her daughter to a rapist to get money for cocaine.
See, but it's not bribing when they do it, Tom. It's only incentivizing.
And by the way, what you were talking about, the kind of intimidation that was going on about the lemonade stands, the cops say that they are out to deter people from breaking the laws, but don't forget that deter means intimidate. They mean the same thing. It's just that deter is you say it when you think it's good, and intimidate when you think it's bad. It's kind of like loneliness and solitude are the same thing. It's just that loneliness is bad and solitude is good. But
thanks, Tom, for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
I found it interesting that I don't know. I think it was today that the Parkland shooter, the police officer, one of the police officers that refused to go into the school when the mm-hmm. Parkland shooter was in there massacring kids, that one of these police officers that was up on trial was just found not guilty for failing to confront the shooter and to protect children. You know, they just, like, I don't know what he was doing, but it clearly wasn't what, you know, we expect
mm-hmm.
police officers to be paid to do.
What, do you know what the charge was that he was facing?
I'd have to go into this a little more. It's just basically he was found, you know, not guilty for, you know, doing his job.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, let's face it. Americans expect a cop with a gun to go into a school to stop a shooter with a gun. And he didn't do it.
There's no obligation, though. You know, we know that, right? Like, so how could have expected
him
to?
That's why it's important to distinguish between what we know and what the audience generally knows. Because the audience right. often will think things like, well, the police officers are here to protect us. And the evidence is clearly in the opposite direction from this.
Obviously.
And we've had a huge, at least we've been, we've rode roughshod over a period of time where people's opinion on police has changed dramatically to the point that people don't want to grow up and be cops anymore.
I think that's a good thing.
Law enforcement. Well, I think that law enforcement in America needs to rebrand itself, and I think that rebranding really needs to take a look at the heart of what they do.
And they could go back to being peace officers, which would be, you know, the type of person whose job it is to simply stop the peace from being breached, stop violence from happening, go after people who actually commit violence, instead of just trying to raise revenue. You know, that's what their main focus is. It's a lot easier to snatch people off the streets for possession of alcohol with underage, or snatch somebody up for some other kind of drug violation or speeding or whatever other nonviolent victimless acts. What to continue?
Also, do the right thing when it comes to dogs and children.
Let's go to CW. He's in Arizona, listening to K-Talks. Go ahead, CW.
KTOX, baby, the best radio station in the tri-state area.
Welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Oh, the lemonade stand. I love driving by those and just laughing at them because they're yelling, lemonade, lemonade. And that's one of the biggest, one of the important things they learn is failure. They don't sell all the product. So that means they have to use it or lose it. So they got to drink their own crap that they make. What is it? Lemon flavored water? That's probably flavored. Yeah,
that's pretty mean, man. That's, I mean, you don't know what's in their lemonade. You didn't stop to ask. But
do they have an ingredient list? Can I say, hey, I want to see?
I bet they do, actually. I bet you could ask them what they put in it.
But I guarantee they're probably using crappy artificial sweeteners that are carcinogenic anyways, just because the parents want to make lemonade.
How can you guarantee that? Hold on, she's pulled over to talk to them.
How many of the parents do you think are behind the lemonade stand that kids have out there?
Oh, I think probably 95% of the parents are saying, okay, kids, let's make some lemonade so you can sell it. And then blah, blah, and they use their crappy-ass sweeteners.
Well, I think that I got your feeling as far as sweeteners, and I tend to share that. And that's kind of what you're expecting when you get the lemonade. But I'm trying to understand exactly where you're coming from. And I think this is important. Do you think the parents are sending kids out to earn money and then clawing off a piece of it because, hey, we're the parents? Or do you think that the parents are saying, hey, this is a good lesson in entrepreneurship widely societally accepted?
Like I said from the beginning, that it's a good experience to know that you're not going to sell all of your product. So, yes,
it is.
They will have a sense of failure. Now, do they drink the stuff themselves?
When do you think the failure should come, though? I mean, don't you think that failure should come after success? Because I always stop whenever I see a lemonade stand, every single time. And I'll usually take a sip of it, and I'll take it into the car, and you're right, I don't finish it. Because I do have a real problem with the artificial sweeteners or whatever. And it's fine by me that somebody might drive by. I don't know whether you'll be successful. I mean, in some cases, I mean, we're just talking about a pitcher of artificial lemonade here, right? Half a pitcher left over.
I just think it's funny. Just let them, I don't know. I don't see why they should be having to. I guess if they want to do it for fun, sure, it's a little experience.
Well, one thing's for sure, if you run a business, there's going to be some jerk that acts like UCW and is rude.
No, don't say that.
Acting like a jerk.
It's
and
not
that's
pejorative. Hey, why are you, Ian,
CW.
Stop being like that.
CW, can you describe your position as anything but jerk?
You guys are mean. Stop it.
I'm not being mean. I asked you a question.
He can dish it out, but he can't take it.
I asked you to describe your position, CW.
No, I'm not very successful myself. I'm a struggling plumber. I do what I can, and I fail at most of the things that I do. So I think it's a good thing that kids are failing.
That's ridiculous.
I think they should be kids and not be working. They should be doing other stuff. They should be being kids.
See, you're part of the problem, CW. You're the kind of person who thinks that these kids shouldn't be out on the streets doing lemonade sales, and you're trying to discourage them. Huh?
Ian, stop it.
Stop what?
Stop being so mean to me.
Oh, buck up. Bye now. The number is 603-283-6160. I don't know if he was tongue-in-cheek on that or if he was actually serious about it. I mean, I get the perspective that somebody has to experience failure. I mean, in the world of business, you are inevitably going to experience failure. You're not necessarily going to the first thing that you try may not work, probably won't. Maybe the first 5 things that you try may not work, and you will have to go through failure at some point. Even the thing that ends up becoming a success, you may have to get over some humps of failure in that. So I get that. But to relish being the failure aspect, to relish being that guy that's going to laugh at some kids on the side of the road or insult their lemonade to their face or whatever it is that he's talking about doing, I think there's some sickness there, personally.
It sounds like a villain, right? Like, I'm all for education on nutrition and everything like that.
Yeah,
if you're selling something to the people,
you're going to get asked about that. And I think that would be a fair question to walk up. I know Bonnie probably would. She'd probably walk up and say, what sweeteners are you using in this? And if it isn't sugar, then you can say, all right, I'm not interested.
Well, I would even go so far as sugar. I mean, sugar is just the most natural poison we have for sweetener. There might be some other things. Well, I'm sorry.
All things in moderation. You'll be fine.
Agreed. Poisons in the dose, and overdosing on sugar will make you fat.
You can overdose in water and kill yourself.
I'm not sure I'd call it an overdose.
What would you call it?
I'm working on that.
I think that's the definition of an overdose.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones here. Bad Slave in New Hampshire. Go ahead.
Howdy.
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I want to go back to what business does any state or federal or local operation in the way of governance have to do? Well, you know, whoever gets to tell you, you can open a business or not. I mean, you know, the commerce is a natural occurrence for human beings, and there needs to be no interference of that.
I agree.
I mean, you know, unless there's going to be, you know, people trying to poison people, but that, of course, would be, you know, violating our non-aggression. But, you know, it's like to have a, you know, a bunch of cops and vehicles and what have you pull up into the side street and, you know, what, arrest the perpetrators of unlicensed commerce?
Well, you know they wouldn't go that far right out the gate, but ultimately that is the threat that backs everything that they do, is that they will kidnap you and they will throw you in a cage. And usually they don't have to get to that point because, like in this case, the mom decided she wasn't going to go through with her plans. She canceled the plans to help these young people between the ages of 6 and 10 learn, you know, how to smile at a business and how to, you know, be nice to customers and get paid for it. So all of that stuff got called off because she knows that at some point the men with guns will show up and do those things. Thank you, Bad Slave, for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. You know, since he was calling from New Hampshire, there was a bit of good news today that was announced by Matt Santanastasso, who's the highest-rated Liberty rep here in New Hampshire. We've got a bunch of libertarians have been elected as Republicans and a couple Democrats, I think, here in New Hampshire. And he announced that apparently New Hampshire has passed and has been signed by the governor at this point a universal licensing reciprocation law, I think is the terminology for it.
Yeah.
So if you are a licensed fill-in-the-blank, which is a guy calling who's a plumber, if you were a licensed plumber in Florida and you moved to New Hampshire, then you don't have to get another license, I guess. They'll acknowledge that the license in Florida is valid, which is interesting because it's the opposite.
I haven't gotten an answer on this, but I do have a question. What if you're a licensed, say, realtor in Honduras?
Mm. Yeah.
Is that licensure then, is the reciprocity in New Hampshire?
That's a great question, and it does call into question.
Or is it more of this free state project, only 50 states exist kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an excellent question. I don't know if they use the term universal accurately or if it is even used in this case, but that's an excellent question, Mark, and I wish we had a state representative on the line who could answer that or someone from the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance at nhliberty.org that does a great job of cataloging and rating all of these bills. But that could be a modification. If it's not included this year, the fact that it was able to pass does suggest that perhaps something like that to make it even more inclusive of the rest of the world would possibly be the case. Of course, New Hampshire may not even have a license for some things, like being a contractor, as I understand it, doesn't require a license in New Hampshire at all. And hopefully we'll see.
That's why reciprocity is easy.
Well, I mean, they're talking about in the areas in which there are licenses. And so hopefully we'll see New Hampshire abolishing licensing in more professions in the future. But I think in the meantime, this is a step in the right direction. Let's talk to Conejo. He's on the line.
I would like to recommend if people want to follow this a little more thoroughly, they can go to Twitter and follow at NHPilled. They will have something to say. I would recommend following at Free State NH, but they have me blocked.
So Conejo is on the line in FEMA Region 13. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's on your mind?
A few days ago, Aria was saying that crypto was a failure. becoming centralized, et cetera. I was just calling with an update on some things. She was also talking about how, what is it called? The Bitcoin, buying website was closed down. Bitcoin
local desk. Bitcoins.
Right, local Bitcoin.
Yeah.
There's another site called localmonero.co.
Correct.
Still up.
Yep, that's right.
It's centralized, but you can buy Monero locally with cash,
correct,
gold, silver, or checks by mail or in person. There's also a decentralized version of that called Havino Dex that's launching in about a month.
That's cool.
You'll be able to buy buy Monero with crypto, cash, gold, silver, gold backs. Actually helped kind of push that.
Yeah, I'm very interested in hearing more about that when it launches. I wish when I heard that discussion, it was from the Porcupine Freedom Festival where Aria was. I think I used the term black pilled to describe it when I was being interviewed on the Free State Projects show, which they do a show called Free State Live. They did it from Porkfest, but I wasn't there for the discussion with Aria, and I wish I had been as another of the members of the Crypto Six. She's pretty frustrated, as you might expect someone who's going to prison for 18 months to be frustrated, and I can understand why that would factor into her decision to essentially say that crypto has lost and that it's all over and done with. I strongly disagree with that particular viewpoint. I think that there's a lot to be optimistic about, and I'd like to, you know, expound on that just a little bit, maybe get Mark to weigh in here as well. Kaneo, if you want to hang on the line for that, I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. And, you know, even as I am facing up to potentially life in prison for the 8 victimless so-called crimes that I was convicted of in the Crypto 6 case, I still think that cryptocurrency has a bright future, even if it's not maybe the brightest right now in the United States. That's not the whole world, and there's a lot of really exciting things that are being developed out there. We're only going to be able to touch on a few of them. The number is 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 is on the way. You can join the show. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.